2 Corinthians 9.
For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Praise the Lord, my brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. And we'd like to welcome those who have called in at 646-668-2636. Or if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Amen. When I'm recording this, this is going to be, I guess this is the third episode, and we're talking about giving. So I just want to come to you and just, and want to close out the three-part series we were doing. We discussed a lot of things with the brothers and a lot of thought, hopefully, a lot of it was thought-provoking to you to consider giving, what you're giving, how we're giving, the purpose of giving. And let me say this too. But the reason I wanted to focus on this because, again, we are called as the church to make disciples and to evangelize and reach out. So we have to be able to explain the giving of offerings, the free will offering, on why are we to give, why should we give in support of ministries. And one of the things we discussed in some of our previous episodes, like I say, if you listened in, was we have to understand, I know Pastor Watkins has shared this, we're not giving to a man. We should not be giving to our pastor. We should be giving to the ministry in support of the ministry. That's all with the tithes, offerings, and all the Old Testament law on giving that we talked about. The all purpose was to support the temple, support the Levites who were the laborers in the temple. And that's how the church supported themselves. They supported the things of God. And we have to have that same heart attitude that we're supporting the ministry. And this is what I go back to. Who's your pastor? Are you part of the ministry? Are you a member of the ministry? Are you part of the vision and the mission of the ministry? Thereby, you're supporting it financially with what God has blessed you with as your income, as your financial income. I was recently in a Bible study, and the question was brought up about, does serving take the place of giving financially? And I'll say this. We're called to serve. We're called to live a life that's pleasing to God. We're called to serve because we're called as a church to make disciples. We're called to feed the hungry. We're called to do a lot of things as the body of Christ. But we also, along with that, are called to give financially. I heard a pastor, I heard a teaching years ago when I first got saved. Time, talent, and treasure. All of these things is what God requires us, you know, but the financial part is where people tend to struggle. And some people try to, you know, the time that they volunteer or the time that they participate in ministry, and they want to substitute that for the actual financial giving. And that's not biblical. And again, if you have any dispute about that, I'd say show me the scripture, show me the teaching where you can substitute financially supporting the ministry where you now, because you've spent time serving in the ministry. The two things, that's like saying, because you teach Sunday school or you work in the children's ministry or you work in hospitality, all these different ministries, because you give your physical time and labor to that, that means you shouldn't have to financially support the ministry. That's what it comes down to. It's not substituting, because again, we're called to give our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. So it's time, talent, and treasure, something I was taught a long time ago. Amen. But again, every man's got to search his heart in that thing, and how what you're going to teach your family, you know, how you're going to teach your children or what they should be doing. We had a small debate about the tithe in the New Testament. That's a whole nother teaching. What I say to you is study the scripture, ask this question of your pastor. And because, you know, there's a lot of things that talks about the tithe and the tithe in the New Testament. Now, there's one, again, this is the things I'm going back sometimes in traditions of men. We tell people the tithe and let that be your starting point, or let that be where you begin as a new believer. I don't believe as a mature believer, we should bound ourselves to 10%, because the Bible says that we should give as we are blessed, out of our abundance. So as you have more, as you make more, as we become better stewards of our money, because we can be increased in our salary incomes, or if we're businessmen, we can have an increase of what's coming in as profit. But now we're willing to increase what we give into the church with that profit, or do we want to spend it on ourselves? So that's a question of covetousness and greed. Because if I am successful, if I am getting promotions, am I buying and spending more, making more obligations, getting a bigger car, a bigger house? Or do I see God, this increase, I'm going to increase in giving it to support the ministry? But again, these are the things that every man has to search his heart about and pray about and see what God is saying to you. Amen. So again, this is our third episode, and I just wanted to touch on a couple of things as we get ready to close out. And I have a couple of announcements. So let me begin. That was my opening monologue. So let me begin with prayer first. And then we're going to go in, and I want to share a couple of things on this episode, and I pray to you again that you would be encouraged by them. Father God, I just say thank you right now. I thank you for every man, every husband, father, and son is listening today, oh God. Father, I thank you, God, for their lives. I thank you for it. What you're doing in their lives. I thank you, God, today. First of all, thank you for their salvation. I thank you for my salvation. I thank you, God, for renewing my mind, oh God. Thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit within me, God, that I can live obedient to your word and be obedient to you, to your will, that you might be glorified. And I pray for every brother that's listening, every husband, father, and son, that God, through your Holy Spirit, God, you would guide them, you would stir them up, oh God, that you would draw them closer to you, Lord God. And, oh God, for the unbeliever right now, Lord God, I say to them, believe God, trust God, because Jesus died for all of us. He shed his blood to reconcile us back to the Father. And all you have to do is believe. Trust, believe, and obey. And you will be saved. Amen. So, again, I just continue to pray that God, you would touch the men, touch their lives, continue to use them, continue to use the brothers, oh God, the elders, the deacons, the pastors, all those in ministry, those who have responsibilities in the ministry, God, I ask you to bless them and cover them. I ask you to cover our families, continue to strengthen us and keep us, and just give us peace, oh God, in the midst of our storms. Give us wisdom and discernment that we might continue to serve you, that we will stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen and amen. Well, again, I got a couple of announcements here. First of all, coming up, this is, we're 30 days away. 30 days away, Jesus Lives Ministry in Glenbury, Maryland. at 302 Crane Highway, April the 22nd. April the 22nd, we're having a men's fellowship and gathering. We invite you to come out and be part of the a part of that gathering. We'll be in person, in the building, gathering together to share a meal, share a word, and reason together and discuss those issues of life, those things that's going on in our lives as men of God, as we continue to serve, as we continue to live out this faith walk. So I encourage you for that on April the 22nd at 10:30 a.m. Amen. Let's see, what else we got? We got First a Church of Redeemer of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland on York Avenue, on Old York Road, I'm sorry. Church of Redeemer of the Lord, Old York Road, every first Saturday of the month, every first Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. The men gather there. And we are coming together in fellowship and study. We're reading together a book by Dr. Jerome Stokes, I Refuse, Life-Changing Declarations You Can Make Today. And we're going through this book as brothers were reading it, and they were coming in discussing it and reasoning together for understanding that we might apply it to our lives and in fellowship, because we sometimes talk about a lot of things that the brothers may bring to the table in that discussion. So I encourage you to come out and join us on that every first Saturday for starting. We already started. Next one's coming up in April, and I believe that's going to be April the 1st. April the 1st, we'll be gathering Church of Redeemer of the Lord. You can go on my Facebook page, or you can text me. If you receive the link for this broadcast and you text me, I can get you the address. I believe it's 4700 Old York Road in Baltimore. But if you were to make sure, just give me a call, send me a text, and I'll make sure you get the information. Also, we have Grace Community Church, Grace Community Church in Fulton, Maryland. They're off 95 and 216, for those who are familiar in D.C. and Baltimore. 95 runs between Baltimore and Washington, D.C., but it's 216 in Fulton, Maryland. They have a couple things. First of all, they have a Monday night Bible study. Monday night men's Bible study at 7 p.m. every Monday night, every week, all year long. Amen? So I encourage you to come out to that. There's a lot of small different groups there that you can join. There's one big group. I sat in a group recently, and we were hashing out Romans chapter 9. And in an hour and a half, we didn't get past verse number 5, I believe it was. But anyway, we were dissecting that thing. We were opening it up and for understanding and what Paul was writing and who he's writing to and why he was writing and what he was trying to, again, what he was, why did he write the letter and what was he trying to do with the letter for the church in Rome. But I encourage you for that, Grace Community Church in Fulton, Maryland. You can Google them, or again, you can text me, give me a call. I can get you the exact address and get you directions to get out there on Monday nights at 7 a.m. Also, this summer, now this is vision and forethinking. This summer, June the 3rd, July the 8th, and July, excuse me, June the 3rd, July the 8th, and August, they have a men's summer breakfast series that they put together, and it's between 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and they're charging $10 a person. Young men under 10 are free, and you can go to Grace Community Church, grace.community/men. And that's the website. You can register, get the information there. I believe if you go in there, you could pay online. I haven't been on it yet. I don't think it was up yet. But you can go to Grace Community Church /men, and it's online there. But again, that is June the 3rd, July the 8th, and August the 5th. On June the 3rd, we'll be talking about friendships. On July the 8th, we'll be talking about masculinity. On August the 5th, we're going to talk about authenticity. So I encourage you to join and be part of that. And gentlemen, pastors, elders, men's ministry leaders, if you have any men's events that you're putting in the works, planning, Bible studies, fellowships, monthly gathering, quarterly gathering, weekly, whatever you have, please share it. You can text me or you can send it to our Facebook page and post it there. And if any men's conferences coming up, I know we're going into conference season now. It seems like most conferences start to kick off right after Easter. So if you're planning on putting together a men's conference or something like that, please let me know. We will post it. We will share it here on the broadcast and be able to encourage the men to come out and be part of to gather, to fellowship, to connect one to another, to be encouraged by one another, by what the Word of God says. Amen? So that men will be blessed as they are leading, as they are husbands, fathers, and sons, as they take their place as leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community. Amen. Amen. So tonight, we're gonna continue. Like I said, this is going to be our third and final episode about giving and tithing. Hopefully, you have taken notes. You can go back into the archives, look up some of the scriptures that we give reference, because it's all about us, each one of us, understanding why we are called to financially support the ministries that we're part of, the work of Christ. What is God doing in the earth? Remember, he's using his church to be salt and light, to not make converts, but make disciples. And the financial support that we give is part of that call. Amen? And offering and free will offering and being part of it. Because I strongly believe, if you're part of a local ministry and you believe in the pastor, you believe in the mission of the church that you are part of, it shouldn't be a struggle. I understand. But I'm just saying, it should be a systematic giving. So sometimes you can give more. This is the way a pastor explained it to me one time. Sometimes one week you might give more, or every 2 weeks, or you might give less, or you might give more. But if you're consistently giving to the ministry, you're fulfilling what God wants. And sometimes it can be sacrificial. You can do without some things. Because I know we've all heard before the preaching about how much you spend on coffee, donuts, lunch. Wherever you spend that extra money that's in your pocket, if you seem like you have to spend, if you didn't spend that, if you took lunch from home and sent them, and then your extra money, the $20 a weekend that you buy a sub sandwich or you buy a Chinese food, that you sacrificially have money to give and support the ministry. And it also, when we come to read and understand what it means to financially support the ministry, we won't be fooled into the manipulation. Because again, that's the thing I've noticed personally myself, when you talk to people who are on the fence about Christ, on the fence about church, they always want to refer to the televangelist and the manipulation and the give to get blessed and the sowing of the seed to get more and, you know, your miracles come in if you give, all that stuff. That comes from being, I'm going to say it like this. Wait a minute, who I got on the line? But, you know, it comes from being ignorant of what the Bible teaches. Biblically, ignorance is the only way you can fall for the manipulation tactics. You know, because what is your ministry? Because if you're part of a local ministry, I'll say this and I'll move on. If you're part of your local ministry and what your ministry is doing and fulfill the mission and the vision, it shouldn't be a problem in your heart to give. But if you're on the outside looking in, you're going to question everything. And if you really, and if you're not really part of a ministry, that's a whole nother discussion about your faith walk and about your obedience to what Word of God says about being like-minded. Iron sharpens iron, and over 70, I believe it's 70 scriptures of one another, and how we are to love and care for one another as the body of Christ. Amen. So tonight we're going to close out. Like I said, this is going to be the final episode. We talk about the way we think about and spend our money speaks to it, to what is most important in our life. My scriptures I want to point you to, brothers, as we discussed it, is Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24, and Luke chapter 21, verse number 4. Or is it always, as I say, we focus in on some, but always read the whole chapter and get the context, and helps you to better, get the deeper understanding. Amen? Amen. For those on the line, if you're ready to join us, join the discussion with us, press 1 on your keypad, and I see you on the switchboard. I got a couple of brothers who called in. Please press 1 on your keypad, and then we could bring you into the conversation. Amen? Amen. Well, let me read a couple things here I want to get started with. We're going to talk about the offering. We're going to talk about the offering. And we're going to talk about the free will offering. and something we talked about earlier, that the free will offering is not a New Testament thing. There's always been, there was always a free will offering, even when Moses came with the law and had all of the sacrifices. And there was always a free will offering. And in my study, and I understood that that free will offering was able to be given anytime at the temple, and that free will offering was, had a specific reason, because the priests used that offering to feed themselves. That meat, the oil, the flour, all of that, they were able to use that to feed themselves for their meals. So the more that people gave freely, not out of the mandatory offerings and sacrifice, but the free will offering was to bless those who labor in the temple. So it, so all of the sacrifices and the offerings, all of them were not mandatory. That's one of the one things that we did learn in this conversation while we're looking into this. And I encourage you to go into the book of Leviticus, dig deeper, read what it's saying, and you know that free will offering is not a New Testament thing. But because of who we are in Christ Jesus, we are free because we are not under the same, what's the word I'm looking for? Restrictions and obligations of the law. But again, because of what Christ has done for us and what God has given us, because he's given us the gift of eternal life. It was a free gift given unto us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hold on 1 minute, gentlemen. I got somebody on the line. I want to bring them in. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Testing 1, 2. Hey, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. Good to hear you. You are, let me see. I didn't see how long you've been in here. How long you been in here, brother? You heard anything I said?
Yeah, just about from the beginning. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I just noticed you. Sorry. I was in the mix here, and then I looked up on the screen, and you were there. Amen. But, anything, since you heard me from the beginning, anything you want to add before we move on?
Yeah, let me add this real quick. As I was doing my study this week on offerings, God brought something to my attention. And what he brought to my attention was that offering, the offering is a fundamental principle of the Bible. What am I saying? Even before the first murder occurred in the Bible, there was an offering.
Even before there was a church,
there was an offering. And even before there was a priesthood to accept the offering, there was an offering.
If you look at Genesis 4:3-4,
Cain and Abel offered offerings to God, which was the reason why Cain got upset and slew Abel. Because his offering was accepted, because Abel's offering was accepted, and Cain's wasn't. First offering. Noah, after God had destroyed the world with a flood, and after they had landed on regular ground, on hard ground, he built an altar and gave an offering. And when we start to look at Moses gave offerings even before he had set up the priesthood. So the fact of a free will offering goes back to the beginning of the Bible, to the beginning of time, and sets the fundamental principle of giving an offering to God. Even the tithe was in the beginning when Abraham met Melchizedek. The Bible says that he offered him a tithe. So offering and giving is a biblical principle that was started from the beginning of time. I just wanted to bring out that point because I wanted to make sure that we understood that this was a foundational item. It's not something that just came up. It's been around since the beginning. What do you think, sir?
Thank you for that, sir. Amen. Amen. There you go, brother. You just shot down half my next half hour. So we're going to keep moving forward.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But you're right, sir, and you're absolutely correct. But see, this is what I'm saying about the body of Christ being biblically, I used the word ignorant before, but I'm going to back that up. I'm going to be more nicer now. Biblically immature. Say again.
Okay.
I said, can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
Oh, 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 okay.
Biblically,
I'm sorry. I said
uninformed. You said immature.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Oh, thank you. So you said it again twice now. People heard it. But yeah, that's what it is. Because we're stuck in the New Testament and we don't search it like you said, brother. The first thing I want people to understand what you just said. You went and searched this thing out. And this is what we all have to do as men of God, as husbands and fathers, as men in the church. We have to go into this word and search it out. I always say, whatever your pastor teaches, you need to go back. You got the next 5 days to dig deep in the way he sowed some seeds in you. So go deep into the sermon. Go deep into the scriptures that the sermon was about. Now, if there's no scriptures in the sermon you heard, I ain't got nothing else to say. I'm going to move on. However, when we're talking about the offering, and we're talking about a couple of things, I want to come to you, but I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I want to read something real quick, Pastor Nari, and then I want to ask you a question about where we are. And like I said, what we're talking about here, the way we think about and spend our money speaks to what is most important in our life. So the topic of giving, again, like you said, the topic of giving begins with the greatest giver, God, our Savior. He gave us the free the gift of eternal life. That he gave us the gift of righteousness. It was a gift of God, his eternal life through Christ Jesus. And these are the things that we have to know, the foundations of our faith. That without Christ, without God sending Jesus Christ, do we understand that all of us, every last one of us, was destined to the wrath of God to spend eternity in hell with the devil and the angels. It's as simple as that. And again, death was the destiny of all mankind if it was not for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And as I said before, Israel was to be the example. But as we look at history, look at scripture, we know Israel fell short in that thing. But they were supposed to be the example to all the other nations in the world of what God, how God, God's people, the example of how God wanted culture to go. But they fell short because all of their offering, all of their ceremonies, all of their laws were just setting a framework, an example, and a shadow of what was going to come. So we know that now that God, that Jesus Christ's blood was shed for us, we are redeemed. And now our lives, if we believe by faith in Christ alone, now our whole life is dedicated to him. Like it says in Romans chapter 12, we ought to be living sacrifices. And we're living as obedient sacrifices. We talked about this too, about God. Do we see Jesus Christ as just a savior from hell and the wrath of God? Or do we see him as Lord, that we obey him in this life while we're here on earth? And that we're going to stand before him and hear, well done. Or depart from me. And the finances and how much what we give financially, I want to be clear, he's also going to see where our heart was when it came for that. Because we might have a lot of stuff. We might have a lot of things in our bonds. We might have a lot of stock folios, saved up money, life insurance, all these things. But what did we do to further, how did we financially support Kingdom of God where we were? In the space we lived in the time and the space that we lived in, did we financially support the ministries to fulfill the Great Commission and the mission and vision that individual churches and men of God were given? If we say, again, I can't say this enough, brothers, if you say you're a member of a church and the man is your pastor, financially supporting him should be your agenda, should be high on your agenda. From all that God has blessed you with, no matter how much you make, I don't care if you make $10,000 or $100,000, what is going towards the advancement of the Kingdom of God? And that's the thing, I think that covers it all as simple as I could say it. Amen? But I just want to give another scripture here. I'm going to read Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Given it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye measure with, it shall be measured upon you. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in the world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So, brothers, again, we have to seek wherever we make it, from, like I said, 10,000 to 100,000, what are you doing? What are you giving to support the ministry? And then also, some of it is sacrificial, because I look back and realize, you know, we make our car payment, we make our car note, we pay, we have a lot of things. We have credit card bills, we talk about debt, getting out of debt. But, you know, whenever people think about, well, I God bless me, I got myself together, I got out of debt, I was paying $200 a month to the Visa card, the MasterCard, or whatever card it was. I finally got that thing down, I cut the card up. So now, do you even consider that $200, whatever you did to get out of debt, can that now go straight to the ministry because you were surviving without it? And that's the simplest way I can put it. Pastor Walker, I'm going to come to you, Cyril, sir, and they say, the way we think about and spend our money speaks what is most important in our life. What do you say to that, sir? What you going to pull on that?
I agree with that concept wholeheartedly. Wherever your heart is, there is also your treasure. The Bible says that, I believe, in Matthew. That where our heart is, there also is our treasure, meaning that what we hold in high esteem is what we pay our money to, whether it be a relationship or our children or a vehicle that we just bought or a pastime that we enjoy. Whatever we love, that's where we give our money to. And the thing of it is that if we love God, then we should be also giving to God because he is a priority in our life. The problem is, and as I've said this before in our conversations, is that we as a people, we look for, always are looking for a return on our investment. We're looking for our money to mean something to us. Now, if we love something, we don't mind spending money on it. I've just become a pool player in a pool in a league that is for competition, and I don't have problems spending my money on buying supplies and cases and pool cues and all that other stuff because I enjoy that particular pastime. And because I enjoy that pastime, I will spend money to make sure that I'm doing it properly, that I'm using the right equipment, and that I am fashioned the way I need to be fashioned for that particular event. Now, if that's the case, we should have the same regard for church, for the ministry, for the thing that feeds our souls and empowers us to be able to live a life that is holy and acceptable unto God. Now, your offering does not make you saved. Your offering does not make you a member in good standing. Your offering does not make you righteous. But the life that you live does, and the life that you live should also be, how can I say this, be also a part of your life of giving. Your life of giving should be evidence of the life that you live as a Christian. So if you love God like you love everything else, you shouldn't be afraid you should not be unwilling to give to the church that is blessing you. You want return on investment? There's your return on investment. God blesses you. And I said before, it's a paradox, meaning that there's a meaning in there that we don't give to get blessed, but we give because we know the blessing is coming. So all of this is things that we should do because this is where our heart is. This is what we love. This is what, as Christian men, we should be doing. We support our families. We should also be supporting the church. If we love our families, if we love God, then we should love the church and give to the church, not to the church, but to God, all, as much as we give to our family. What do you think, sir?
Amen. I agree, brother. I like that, what you're saying. And we're going to talk about going to the pool. We're going to talk about shooting pool later. I'm going to get with you after, offline. Because, I got a stick from 19, I got a 1980 stick that, you know, I bought, but never mind. Amen.
Right.
But,
right.
And I thank what you said. I thank you for what you said. Because, again, brothers, every man, you have to search your heart. And, like, you know, the teaching for giving and tithes, offerings, and financial, you know, there's a, it's something to me, there's a lot of labor that goes into something that should be, it's something that is natural. I like the way Pastor Watkins said. The things we love and we enjoy, our hobbies, our pastimes, we don't have a problem spending our finances on those. We'll plan for it. We'll set aside for it. You know, I recently took up shooting. So I put some money aside every week or whatever, so I can buy ammo. So when it's time to go shooting, we got some ammo, you know, and like you said, we all have those things, those pastimes, but when we put into it, but then we have to balance. Do we see God? Do we see the ministry just as important? We love God. We say we love God. We say Jesus Christ is our Lord. I'm saved, Holy Ghost filled, on fire for God. But what is that? What does our finances reflect? Are we supporting the ministries? Are we supporting what God's doing? See, that's the thing. That's why I think when people disconnect, like you said, you want something, you want the most bang for your dollar. But don't you see what the church is doing in the community or has done for you? Or, you know, what the church, what you're learning, you should be growing spiritually, because we all are continuing in a sanctification process. And until we die, we're going to continue to grow until we are glorified. And if we see that as the purpose of the church, I think sometimes people get it twisted of the purpose of the church, because people put a lot of emphasis on material things on earth. Now, some of that, I'm going to be bold. Pastor Watkins, you got my back. Don't hang up on me. Because I think some of that, people get that from their pastors and the way they teach prosperity. I think that was the most venomous thing that got into the body of Christ as I look back on it. Because again, people who know me, I wasn't saved my whole life. I got saved when I was in my 30s and mid 90s. And there was a lot of that going on. There was a lot of indictments and stuff going on, but it was still a lot of that prosperity preaching about give to get and give this and you're going to get a new car and all these material things on earth. So there's a lot of men of God who taught these things who are going to have a lot of blood on their hands because they deceived the people. But again, this is why we have to have wisdom, discernment, study the scripture for ourselves, and be in a place now that we support what God is doing in the earth. Because to reach the lost is what we are called to do. So what is your church doing? Are they making disciples? Are we evangelizing? What's going to, you know what I mean? Is the ministry but doing what God has called the church to be and do? You know, the church, the Christ did not die. I hate to tell some of y'all this, but when Christ did not die so that you can get a bigger house, get another car note, buy clothes, buy whatever's the thing out here, he didn't buy for you to prosper and to hoard it and to be covetous about it. Again, we ought to give out of our, we're supposed to give, be a cheerful giver out of our abundance. So as God blesses, we all now come back again. I gave the example. You know, you might have got it, been in debt, or you might have even this. I'm going to say this. If most car loans are what now, 4 or 5 years. After you pay off your car, do you go out and get another one, or do you now see this is now another resource that I could give to God? If your car payment was $400 a month for 60 months and you got it, the car's paid for, you're good, why can't half of that now go be consistently given into the church? Because you was already living. You was living with a $400 car note. So even when the car's paid off, do we even think about it in our heart and head to say, now I can give this money to this ministry, a third, a half, or whatever that car payment was? Or do we run out right away 6 months later, we don't went out here and upgraded and bought us a new car when the car that we just paid off was still working? Now, I understand You know, everybody, every once in a while, because cars don't last forever, because the junkyard is full of them. But do we ride that horse until it's dead? Remember, back in the day, cowboys rode their horses until you had to put a bullet in its head. They didn't just trade in their horses, but that's just me. That's a metaphor. But these are the things that I say, brothers. I say this because I just want to stir up something in you to think about with your finances and what you're doing and what's going on. Because as God blesses, are you understanding that you all your blessings come from him and that the ministries need financial support in this culture. And even for that's what I'm saying. Pastor Martin, will come to you because I'm making sure I'm saying this right, because it should be, if you're part of a local ministry, you know what that ministry's goals, vision, and mission is, and you're financially supporting it. You know the man of God, you know his heart, because I'm going to come back to you because we talked about something last week that I wanted to come back with you and spend a few minutes on, that we're not giving to the man of God, but we're giving to God. And that's a whole conversation. But I think that's something, that's why I say, to get around that, you have to be part of something, because you're not going to give, you can't, I understand how anybody would give to something that you don't know what, you know, understand, I'm saying it right. I'm going to go to you, Pastor Watkins. What do you say, sir? You should know. You should be part of your ministry. And you know what's going on. You know where your blessings are coming from, if I'm saying that correct.
Exactly.
What do you say, sir?
You shouldn't be the ministry you're in should be a blessing to you, meaning that you should see the benefits of being in that particular ministry, the fact that your spirit is getting fed, the fact that your soul is being uplifted, the fact that the praise and worship is a blessing to you, the fact that the man of God ministers. You should be able to see outreach coming from your church. You should be able to see minister to the elderly. You should be able to see ministry to the youth. All of these things you should be able to see as beneficial parts of the ministry that you're in. Now, if you're not seeing these things, then you either need to look harder at the ministry that you're in, or you need to begin to look for another ministry where you can see this fruit of the Spirit happening, this fruit of the ministry happening in your local assembly. Now, if you can see all this, then you can see the benefits to the community. Now, the problem has gotten in, and I agree with Deacon Farr that there's been the ministry of prosperity that has caused to come in and made things bad, but there is a place for prosperity because there are people who are still gotten blessed from it. God blesses, God rains blessings on the just as well as the unjust. We've heard of misuse of funds in the body of Christ. Now, misuse of funds didn't just happen because of men and women. Misuse of funds happened in the Bible. If we look back at in the book of Samuel, it talks about the sons of Eli, Phinehas and Hophni, Hophni and Phinehas, who misused the offerings that were being brought to the ministry for the work of the church. And Eli, it was so bad that Eli did not correct them. And Eli grew so fat that he fell over backwards in a chair, broke his neck, and it was written across the top of the door top Ichabod, because the glory had departed from the church. This was because of misuse of funds. Now, this is a point that I made last time, is that when we give to the church, when we're giving offerings, our offerings go to God. And it's God's responsibility to take care of what happens with those offerings. Because anything you give your money to, that whoever you give your money to, that's who you look for accountability, and that's who you look for retribution when there's misuse of funds. So if you're giving to the church or you're giving to a man, a pastor, when it looks like the money's not working out right, you look to the pastor for some explanation and accountability. And if there is no explanation and accountability, you then look at that man for some retribution because your money was misused. This is why we don't give to a man. We give to God. If you look at every scripture in the Bible, if you look at scripture in the Bible, in Genesis, where it talks about offering, If the Bible says, God said, bring the offering to me. When you look at the scripture, when it talked about Cain and Abel's offering, it said they brought their scripture, their offering to God. When you look at the scripture for in Leviticus, where it talks about setting up the priesthood and everything else, these were offerings that were given to God, were given to the priest to administer for God. So they were never giving to a church. They were never giving to the tabernacle. They were never giving to the priesthood. They were giving offerings to God. And as we give our offerings to God, it's then God's responsibility for him to make retribution. It's God's responsibility to make sure the church is doing what it's supposed to do with the money. And we need to stop looking at what the pastor drives. We need to stop looking at what the pastor wears, where the pastor lives. And if we have issue with all those things, then we need to either change the church we're going to, or we need to pray for the pastor because something else is going on. And these are issues that we need to look at. And Deacon, you know, people might hang up on me, but this is where I stand on this, you know. If you have issues with what's going on, whether what the pastor is doing is right or not right, either you're in the wrong ministry or you need to be praying for the pastor to see what's going on and have God minister to your heart about what there is. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, that's why it's so much, because you're right. But that's what I'm saying, being involved with the ministry. Because I'm going to throw something out there. I might offend a couple of denominations when I say this. But, I talked about this a couple episodes ago. You know, how many churches have building funds and no buildings? And it's been years. And nobody knows. Trust me, I've known ministries. Let me back up. Because even, and when we talk about, what is it, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, it talked about he was getting money to support those in Jerusalem. He's collecting money to support the poor believers who were suffering. So there was also a time of giving an offering for a specific purpose. And when that specific person, that's where the accountability is. If you're asking for money for a specific thing, is it being used for that thing? You know, people have shared, and we talked about, because that encouraged some people, because offerings and collections were taken for things that never manifested themselves. It was for vans, and like I say, building funds, and for other things, and find out the thing never went through. So there was always, it never manifested itself to what the offering was asked for to do. Okay? So that's part of it. And then now I want to throw this in, because when you mentioned that whole thing about, I said this before, if you're a member of a church and you have a question, ask the question if it's going to settle your spirit. Is the pastor on salary? Because if the pastor's on salary, a full-time ministry, most times his salary is part of the church budget. So when you give to God, that's part of it. I've said it before. Because the free will offering in Leviticus was specifically to bless the temporal physical needs of the priesthood, of the Levites. That was food they was able to eat for themselves, to consume for themselves. Remember, back when in the temple, they didn't have refrigerators. So any meat that was freshly sacrificed, if it wasn't burned at the altar, then the Levites were able to keep it and feed themselves and their families. And that whole thing, it goes out to when the temple was built. The offerings were given to take care of the priesthood and their families so they could eat and prosper as the whole nation prospered. So that's what it's all about. That's where, and we talked about it, I think it was in the book of Acts, when people sold what they had and they were on one accord to support one another. You know, and as I was studying that, I want to throw this part in. They sold what they had. They sold their possessions and assets to support the ministry. That never said they stopped working. They just took their abundance, their assets or land or properties or whatever they had, sold it and gave it to support the church. That doesn't mean they stopped working or they didn't stop producing, but their assets that they were, you know, they had some assets and they decided to sell it, to liquidate it, and give it to the ministry. So, you know, that's why a lot of things, that's why we have to study what the scripture is saying. Because it didn't say in the book of Acts that the 3,000 of them in the church grew, and everybody stopped going and doing their work. They stopped being productive men of society. They just took their assets because they were on one accord. And that one accord is something every man, you need to see, are you on one accord with your local ministry to the point where the Holy Spirit moves you to give and to support that ministry, that your pastor, I mean, is a teaching, because again, this is a part of evangelism and part of making a disciple. So once we teach on giving and financially supporting and giving out of our abundance, giving out of what God has made it able for us to earn and gain through either a job, our entrepreneurship, our business ventures, and our profit, now we are called to give and support the things of God. So it is really no way around it. I think some of it for me is a maturity issue. It's between discipling, teaching people, and then people growing and maturing to the point. And also wisdom and discernment, because I think that's the thing. Pastor, we're saying the same thing when it comes to what the pastor gets and all the other stuff, but some of that is wisdom and discernment, because we all are given wisdom and discernment. Wisdom and discernment is not for the pastor, the bishop, the whatever. Wisdom and discernment for every believer. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And if the Holy Spirit is living within us, we're going to have wisdom and discernment. Because you can tell someone who's trying to hustle you for money and take these offerings, and they don't even make it. Because to me, I mean, I'll say it now, because again, I'm not going to say I always knew these things, but now you can discern what people are doing when they're trying to manipulate money out of people. Because I realize people are still buying holy water, they're still buying handkerchiefs online, and they're still buying all this stuff. And so there's always vulnerable sheep out there for these things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fine here, Pastor Larry Watkins, and we're talking about the way we think about and how we spend our money. Pastor, I want to come to you because, like I said, this is our third. It's going to be our final episode. We're going to move into another topic. But I just wanted to I'm going to come to you because I wanted to get to a place where the men, the husbands, the fathers, and sons start to search their hearts, examine themselves when it comes to financially supporting a ministry, that they can all the fog and all the ridiculousness, and go into the Word of God and understand what God is calling us, how we are to support the things of God in God's church and what God is doing when it comes to specifically for our finances. Because, again, I think a lot of it is, like I said, it's about teaching, it's about growing, it's about maturing. And then when we evangelize? Because I find that even in evangelism, when you talk about offering and tithe, these are the questions that people bring to the church. And I don't believe the believers, the men of God, the believers, the mature ones in the body of Christ, don't know how to answer the questions about when it comes to money. People start murmuring, complaining, stuttering, and can't come up with an answer. Because I shared this recently in a Bible study, you know. I got folk that I work with. You know, the only time we talk about God, you know, they know who I am, and we talk about God is when one of these preachers make the news. Then they want to ask me about God and the church and the gospel, and this is that. I said, whoa, slow down. I told them before. I said, hey, there's crooks everywhere, but you can't read. I say, this is what I say, and I'm coming to you, Pastor Walker. This is what I tell them. I said, it's not the man. The man's on a hustle. We all on a hustle. We all know hustlers, deceivers, liars, and they manipulating people to get their money, con artists, whatever you want to call them. But is it their fault because they're doing what they do, or is it the people who call themselves Christians and church members and believers who fall for the lies and the deceit of the false teacher to manipulate them out of their money? So whose fault is that? The man's doing his job. He's out here hustling. He knows exactly who he is. He's out here for gain. He's out here for filthy gain to get as much as he can out of people who say they believe. But why is it? It's not his fault. It's the people's fault because they're biblically, what's the word I'm going to use again there, brother? I didn't want to use ignorant. They're biblically immature. Is that the word I want to use?
That's the word we want to use, immature, yes.
Okay. So they're biblically immature. So they're being taken care of. They're being taken advantage of by wolves in sheep's clothing. But whose fault is it? Because they don't understand what the Word of God says, or they want to get something for nothing, and they think that the body, that God could be manipulated. That's the biggest thing. I mean, it's your God just gave me this. They believe that God could be manipulated by their giving, so they didn't get God to do anything they want. And that's not what Scripture teaches. Amen? I'm going to leave it there. Pastor Walker, I'm going to come to you, man. Man, the time went quick. But I'm going to give you the last and final word on this three-part series when we're talking about giving and how our heart should be and where we should be as husbands and fathers and men as we lead and how we should see this thing that we would teach our children and our children's children and those around us in our circle of influence to know that the church needs to be financially supported because of what this is what God wants from us. What do you say, sir?
The final thing I'm going to say is that, as I've been saying all along, we should be giving our offerings to God and not to a man or not to an organization. The organization and the man are those who are given to, we entrust to administer those offerings so that they make sure that they're being distributed to the right place. But ultimately, we're giving to God. And with any gift that you give, once you give it, it no longer becomes yours. It now belongs to that person you gave it to. And we no longer have control over it. I used this example once before. If it's Mother's Day and you give your mother a gift of whatever, you can no longer claim responsibility for that item because you gave it as a gift to your mother. Your mother now has responsibility over it. And you can't manage the expectations of that gift or the use of that gift because it's no longer yours. It's up to your mother how she now wants to use it or not use it. Our problem is we think that because we pay for something, that we now have control over that thing that we paid for or that we gave to, so that we can now manipulate that thing to move in the way that we would like them to move for our benefit. That is not true. We give for the ongoing of the ministry. We give for the blessing of God, to the blessing of God. We give to the ministry of the church, not to a personality, not to charisma. And many times we get caught up in the charisma of the person and not the purpose or the word that the person is preaching. We give to a ministry because the ministry is booming, got a whole bunch of people, got a nice building, got pretty words on the front of the church, and we want to look good giving to that ministry when we don't know really what that ministry is doing or how they're spending the money. Give to God. If you like the ministry, if the ministry is blessing you, if the ministry is beneficial to you, give to it. And the problem that the church in Acts ran into was they had specified in their heart that they were going to give a particular gift. We're going to sell this. We're going to give it to the church. But what happened was when they sold it and found out how much they got for it, they got greedy and didn't give all of it to the church like they purposed in their heart. If you're going to give to the church, make it a part of your budget. If you're going to give to the church, make it a part, make it on purpose so that you know what you're going to give. In Corinthians, it says to decide in your heart what you're going to give so that you don't give it grudgingly. We should all be cheerful givers. We should all be giving to God for the furtherance of the ministry of God, because we know that God is going to bless us because we give, and we bless the church because we give. What do you think, Pete?
Amen, sir. I thank you for that. That was a good closing monologue. But gentlemen, again, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We are here, and we're live on Saturday mornings. I want to get that back out there. We're live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636 to join the program live and be part of the discussion and conversations. This show was a pre-recorded show, but again, if you reach out to me our topic for Saturday mornings is, I'm not sure. We go where the Lord leads us most times. But we are live. We are live. You can call in on Saturday mornings at 646-668-2636, 9 a.m. on Saturday mornings, and we encourage you to be part of it. Again, if you have any men's ministry events coming up in the next quarter, next 6 months, please let me know. We can post it. I know there's a couple of conferences some brothers have put together. They're posted on the Facebook page, but I did read a couple of the ongoing things that I know about here that I personally know about. And again, give me a call. We'll post it. We'll share it with those online that we continue to bless men, that we could grow in our ministry. We can grow in sanctification. We can grow in our faith. And we can just grow, that we will live lives that are pleasing to God, because we all want to stand before him and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," as he searches our hearts as we stand before him naked. Amen. Pastor Walker, if you could, sir, could you pray us out, please?
Sure. To any brother that wants to reach out and wants to have a conversation or have anything that they need to talk about, you can reach me at PastorLarryWatkins@gmail.com. Again, that's PastorLarryWatkins@gmail.com. I check it daily. We can have a conversation, or I can pray for you if you need prayer. Let us bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, how we love and adore you. We appreciate you, God, for who you are and all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed us beyond measure. Just the fact that you allow us to breathe, just the fact that you wake us up in the morning, we thank you, Father, for how you continue to bless us. Now, Lord God, we ask that you would bless each and every man listening to this conversation. Bless them, Lord God, to help them make up in their mind how they should give, knowing that giving is a fundamental principle of your ministry and of your word, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that you would open up their hearts, Lord God, for where your heart is, or for where your treasure is, there also is your heart. So, Father, as we move through the ministries, Lord God, let us give to our local ministry. As the ministry blesses us, let us give to our local ministry. As you bless us, Lord God, let us give, because we have purposed in our heart, Lord God, that we're going to sow a seed unto you. Now, Father, we ask, Lord God, that you continue to bless us, watch over us. We ask, Lord God, that you bless Deacon Farr for all that he does and all that he pours out to you, Lord God. Pour back into him, Lord God, a double portion of your spirit, that he may continue to be a blessing unto the men, and that this ministry can continue. Father, we thank you, we honor you, we bless you, we glorify you, we magnify you, Lord God. We thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.